The second chapter of Philippians, verses 1 through 13. If our life in Christ means anything to you, if love or the spirit that we have in common or any tenderness or sympathy can persuade you at all, then be united in your convictions and united in your love with a common purpose and a common mind. That is the one thing that would make me completely happy. There must be no competition among you, no conceit, but everybody is to be humble. Value others over yourselves, each of you thinking of the interests of others before your own. Your attitude must be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Christ, though in the image of God, didn't deem equality with God something to be clung to, but instead became completely empty and took on the image of oppressed humankind, born into the human condition. Born into the human condition, found in the likeness of a human being, Jesus was thus humbled, obediently accepting death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted Christ and gave to Jesus the name above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God. Jesus Christ reigns supreme. Therefore, my dear friends, you who are always obedient to my urging, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not only when I am to be with you, but all the more now that I'm absent. It is God at work in you that creates the desire to do God's will. Here ends our reading today. Thanks be to God.
Sometimes the things we are taught to believe can become so taken for granted, so normalized, that we fail to realize how profound they really are. For instance, the notion within Christianity that an almighty God would give up almightiness in order to be born into human flesh as a vulnerable instant. Now, this is really, if you think about it, extremely profound. It was not a completely foreign concept in ancient times for a god to become human for a short time. Zeus, one of the Greek gods, did become human for a day, but only in order to play tricks on humankind. That's not the story or the motivation for our God becoming incarnate, and that word means born in human flesh. So a truly powerful deity in those times was supposed to bring about victory, was supposed to have authority over nations and individuals and creation and be able to cause anyone who was wrong to kneel down and submit to God's will. So our question for today from the scriptures is, how does power work when power is not power over, but it's born through humbleness? The Apostle Paul, in this famous 4-chapter letter to the Philippians, talks about a God whose actions make no sense when judged by human logic. It's truly a radical concept that a God would give up power over in order to live out the power unleashed within vulnerability. God became completely empty and was born into the human condition through the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. Many famous stories within our own culture are of rags to riches. In this country, you can be born into poverty and rise up to become a famous actress or an author or a TV personality, a social media mogul, a software designer. But the story of our God is the opposite of rags to riches. The story of our God is one of riches to rags. God gives up heavenly glory in order to experience the mixed bag of a human life, humility and humor, betrayal and beauty, pain and possibility, injustice and joy. God models a life of riches to rags in order to set for us an example. We are not to aim for nobility or for grandness, but for humility and for service. Last week, Michael preached to us about Paul's relationship with this church in Philippi, the ones who received this letter that contains so much wisdom about humbleness and service. Paul wrote these words while he was imprisoned in Rome, and this was probably the warmest of all of his 13 letters that was penned to any new church starts. He emphasized the importance of a community being united in love with a common purpose and a common mind, of not competing against each other, but of valuing others' interests before one's own, which is how we are able to become humble. Being united in love with a common purpose and a common mind is not easy, but when it happens, I believe that the angels in heaven rejoice and do cartwheels and backflips and are just so proud of us. As you can tell by glimpsing the news, it's not every day that we humans actually do unite in love for a common purpose and mind. But last Friday evening, some of us attended the Free Mom Hugs Tour kickoff. This was an event that happened the day before a mom, Sarah Cunningham, and her gay son, Parker, left on a 10-city tour with the mission of spreading love and affirmation for all within the LGBTQ and ally community. Too many have been denied love by parents or church parents, church families, and this is one reason why today, Mother's Day, can be so painful, more so than joyous for some folks. But it was really extraordinary to witness these moms and dads sending off everyone, and they are all united in love with a common purpose and a common mind, which is what the Apostle Paul wrote to us about. And I can't wait till we hear the personal testimony from that mom and that son when they come back and speak to us face to face in worship. Then last Wednesday afternoon, several of us attended the 35th anniversary luncheon for the Oklahoma Institute for Child Advocacy at the Governor's Mansion. I had never been there before. They have a swimming pool in the shape of the state of Oklahoma, just so you know. Laura Choate, who's a member of this church, was the guest speaker at this event. And I learned about this agency, which I knew nothing about beforehand. The whole thing was created 35 years ago in 1983. When a group of concerned citizens mobilized together after a national news report about it exposed some very horrific cruelty and abuse that was being experienced by Oklahoma children in our state's custody, and Laura Choate was one of those persons. So that story broke in the news, and then all of these child advocates from every corner of the state came together to be united in love with a common purpose and a common mind, that of protecting Oklahoma's children and being a voice for those, particularly the children in our state's care, who do not have a voice, those growing up amidst poverty and violence and abuse and neglect. At the luncheon, we heard actually about a good bill that recently passed. Yes, good bills do pass in the Oklahoma State Legislature from time to time. This bill created a trauma-informed care task force, which is going to make policy recommendations to the legislature. Just as the Apostle Paul speaks about God being born as the vulnerable Christ child, the vulnerable bodies of all children are susceptible to something that we now call ACE. ACE stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. Experiencing even one adverse childhood experience can impact us for the rest of our lives, let alone if you experience multiple ACEs as a child. So 45% of children in the United States do experience at least one of the following adverse childhood experiences. Could be economic hardship, parental divorce or separation, the death of a parent, parental incarceration, violence among adults living in your home, or being a victim or witness violence in your neighborhood, living with an adult who is mentally unwell, or living with someone who has a substance use problem. It's heartening to see that all those people in the room have created an organization committed to being united in love with a common purpose and a common mind of caring for and protecting Oklahoma children. So even though I had two personal stories from just this one week in the life of our community about folks who have been able to practice Paul's admonition to the church in Philippi, that does not mean that it comes easily. Our contemporary reading that Michael read for us reminds us of the painstaking work that is involved in fostering and growing humility, which we all have to work on. It doesn't magically appear with everyone agreeing on the first day about what the common purpose or mind should be that is going to unite us all together in love. So in order to nurture humility, we have to engage with and carefully listen to people who understand things in ways that are dissimilar to how we understand things. It means we have to venture outside our philosophical and theological cul-de-sacs and see how much we don't know and how much we need others to help us to know. The opposite of humility is thinking that we know everything already. I don't believe any folks with a similar skin tone as mine know all that we need to when it comes to unconscious bias and racism embedded within our country and our culture. In this past month, just one month alone, looking at all the stories that have been snowballing regarding people of color not being able to do the most routine things in life without having police called upon them. So last week in Colorado, two Native American brothers were detained by police while they were on a college campus tour, because a woman in the tour group felt nervous that the young men were quiet and kept to themselves, and they missed out on the whole college campus tour because of that. Employees in this last month at a Nordstrom Rack in St. Louis, Missouri, called the police on three black men and accused them of theft when no such activity had occurred. A neighbor in California called the cops on three black women who were checking out of their Airbnb, air bed and breakfast, because she assumed that they must be stealing from her neighbor's house. Two black men were arrested at a Starbucks in Philadelphia as they sat waiting for a business meeting to begin. A neighbor in New York City called the police on a former White House staffer who is black while he was trying to move into his new apartment, because the neighbor suspected that this man must be a burglar who was trying to break in. It was his own home. This handful of stories doesn't even include the multiple racially motivated murders of people of color by white folk in this month alone. As a church, I believe that the plight of those melanated brothers and sisters among us has to be something that we humble ourselves to, carefully listening to folks who understand and experience things in ways that are dissimilar to how others of us experience and understand them. Then and only then can we begin to unite in love with a common purpose in mind and value others over ourselves, as our scripture teaches us to do. As we do, I too can get completely overwhelmed by the amount of negativity perpetrated every day before our eyes. It seems to be never ending. The state-funded discrimination bill that was signed into law on Friday, the announcement that the United Methodist Church could not pass amendments regarding women's equality, the personal dramas that unfold within our own individual lives. It's during times like these that I almost long for a power over God, one who could break in and exercise righteous authority over nations and governments and individuals. But then I remember Paul's words. Jesus was humbled and became completely empty and took on the image of oppressed humankind. The wisdom and ways of our God are countercultural. Paul continues, if our life in Christ means anything to you, if love or the spirit that we have in common, or any tenderness or sympathy can persuade you at all, then be united in your convictions and united in your love with a common purpose and a common mind. So I resolve to stave off the hardening of my heart. I coax it to not shut off or shut down, but to be vulnerable and humble, to keep listening, to keep learning, to keep loving, and to seek humbleness and kindness. May it be so for all of us. Amen. Let us be in a time of reflection before prayer.